It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru...
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Every single woman who meets him instantly wants to sleep with him, or they're flirting with him.
You laughed there, and I thought it sounded like we're playing the roaches.
Thank you, friends of Shaq and the Super Lakers. By the way, that intro, thanks, Joe.
Yep.
Mr. Tatum's got nothing on me. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HT to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soze. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which we are starting to rebuild. We're in a rebuilding year like the Colts.
It's, yeah.
And you can check out our blog at...
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Where you can read famous film sociology quotes like...
Yep. Let's see, what's up there right now?
You put it up there.
It's, oh, is Gail there? Put her on. This is a film show.
That's in lieu of my conversation with Gail Kim, a.k.a. Mrs. Robert Irvine, on last week's show. Always fun. The voice you just heard, the head coach of Zazu.
Draft night is here, 6:15. It's going down. We are drafting our league-winning roster.
Because you need, that's what you need to know on the film show, is our WFYI Fantasy Football League.
Unfortunately, Zazu and the Wiseau All-Stars are not in the same division.
The Tommy Wiseau All-Stars, yeah. So, however, we will do the we will have the Silver Stakes game.
Yes.
It's now annual event. Don't say first annual.
No, but, is annual now.
And
this
I can't wait for you to get me a porterhouse.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens this year.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I think I'm going to let
it's a big game.
Yeah. Anyway, that's Kobe Slagle, my producer, my friend, the man who helps out everybody here at the station. You're welcome, Tracy. Because you had us sweating there a little bit. I'm going to have to make me multitask. Sitting in studio with us, Tim Irwin, the artistic director of Truly Moving Pictures, who had a busy week this week. How are you?
Busy indeed. Doing well, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Besides, we're gonna be previewing Heartland in a little bit. Tim has a turkey sandwich, thanks to WFYI. And,
thanks very much.
You're welcome. We had our women wellness and the stuff that guys aren't doing event. What are you looking for?
Oh, you grab it.
Yeah, I didn't give you a playlist. It really didn't matter because you just showed up, so we'll get to it. We will talk about what's, of course, new in theaters. We'll talk about new and old titles on DVD and Blu-ray. Of course, we will preview Heartland. And we will have our segments, Dead People We Like.
That's right.
We have to have a very special one this week.
Because we don't have time for dead people we don't like.
And... yeah, Kobe, I believe, what is Kobe watching is still on hiatus.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen stuff, but just
not the stuff I've given you.
You know, it's interesting because, was it last year or the year before last that, no, it was last year.
You single-handedly.
Last year was the year that I saved Hollywood, and
With your hard-earned money.
I think this year might be the year that I start Hollywood savings account.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
You also need the year that you have to start watching movies the host gives you. But you're already behind because, well, the last films I gave you were produced by George Harrison. That's how far back it goes. No, not when George Harrison died. But but of course, I had the Matt moment where I was informed by Kobe he had never seen True Romance. And, of course, I had to pick up my eyeballs after they shot out of my skull. And anyway, we're going to fix that. We'll also go into the archives. Or as we like to think of these DVDs as.
Yeah, I'll burn it for like $5.
Only in Warner Brothers' case, it's 20. And so anyway, we will get up and go. But we are still in August. We're still waiting for the grown-up movies to arrive. They are. There's still movies out there. For instance, we have, was it The Apparition? Not screened for the press, with Ashley Green. Yeah. And then we have Robot and Frank, starring Frank Langella, Liv Tyler, James Marsden. So Liv Tyler and James Marsden are kids, and Frank Langella is their dad. It has to be a gorgeous mother. Susan Sarandon's in that, Peter Sarsgaard. There was an interview, really good interview with Frank Langella on Fresh Air. If you go to freshair.npr.org, you can hear that. That was on last week. We also had Hit and Run with Dax Shepard, Kristen Bell, Bradley Cooper. Are you really playing with electronics during the show?
No.
Okay. Then we have Premium Rush with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. The bicycle movie that's not Quicksilver. Michael Shannon is in it, and I can't remember. I believe The Onion referred to it as David Koepp's version of a Roadrunner cartoon. So, and my buddy Jeff Marker down in Georgia saw it and said it's cheese, but it's really well made cheese. So good, it's cheese, a Gruyere, I guess, or a, you weren't even thinking of that. But also opening in theaters today.
That's what you get when you watch the Food Network. You start knowing cheeses and things.
And host.
Yep.
Not personally, but we're working on that.
Yep.
But also opening today is Farewell, My Queen, which is based on the novel by Chantal Thomas. And it's guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's an Inglourious Basterds reunion, because you have Diane Kruger and you have Leah Seydoux. Pardon my French, literally. Leah plays the reader of the Queen, not the reader of the Kate Winslet persuasion. And she's reading for Marie Antoinette, and that whole Russian Revolution thing starts to happen, and cake will not be eaten. So here's the trailer.
Ah, Mademoiselle Laborde, et de si tôt matin, comment vous dire ma gratitude?
Faut avouer qu'il fait un beau jour.
Aussi y a-t-il longtemps que nous nous promenons.
Aussi, le plaisir d'être avec vous.
Je voulais vous poser une question.
Avez-vous déjà été attiré par une femme?
Vous connaissez la duchesse de Polignac?
Tout le monde à la cour connaît Gabrielle de Polignac.
On dit que la reine s'en est amourachée et que ses mœurs sont des plus libres.
Vous savez ce qui me fait le plus de peine, Monsieur Moreau? C'est toute cette malveillance autour de la reine.
Si Jeanne est déjà aveugle.
Vous connaissez pas la nouvelle?
Ah bah si.
Gloria ne tourneront dans ce château.
Mais que va-t-il nous arriver, Monsieur Moreau?
Voilà ce qui circule librement au château.
Liste des 286 têtes qu'il faut couper.
Qu'allez-vous faire?
Je resterai auprès de la reine tant qu'il le faudra.
J'ai peur pour elle.
Okay, as I said, this was an unofficial Inglourious Basterds reunion, because you have Diane Kruger playing Marie Antoinette. Of course, she was in the one third of the story of Inglourious Basterds that you didn't see in the trailer. And Leah Seydoux, who I was like, I've seen her. She's a French that lady. And I forgot, she was she wound up eventually becoming the apple in Owen Wilson's eye in Midnight in Paris.
That's what I know.
That's what we do here at Film Sociology. We give a name and a face to that girl.
Yes, we are
not
very
Marla Thomas.
We are very pro. Oh, that guy.
Yeah, we are pro girl. That person. She was also in Mission Impossible: Ghost Protocol. See,
that's
up. Thank you, IMDb.
Oh, yeah!
Do we have to do that segment? This week we highlight on Oh, Yeah! And she was in Ridley Scott's version of Robin Hood, but that requires you actually remembering Ridley Scott's Robin Hood. So,
having seen it in the first place, which...
And his Not So Merry Men, because that was very serious work. You know, Tony's brother. So, and my colleague at Nuvo, Ed Johnson, out brought up the point, and I know when people see costume dramas, they clench up for no reason, really. But there is, yes, there is the pomp and circumstance and the class system and the fact that she is, Leah's character is the reader for Marie Antoinette, and you do what the queen wants, whether the harpy who is your superior is telling you to not go in or to go in. And this is a character, she's loyal to a fault, especially in time of revolution going on around around the country and around the castle. So very driven performance, very determined. And Diane Kruger is really good in this. And it's, you know, she portrays Marie Antoinette. And yes, no, we don't. There is no cake line. Or kick her death. Thank you, Eddie Izzard. But kind of, you know, plays the queen as a lost child at times, and obviously out of touch with the everyday people. And also thrown into the mix is that there's a love triangle, but it involves another lady. So because the camaraderie between the reader and the queen has enough gray area where you're watching this going, are they? And then it you do sort of get an answer when Marie Antoinette has a female friend in her life. So, yes, it's a costume drama for some, a lot of corsets and wigs, but it's a love triangle. And it's a love triangle that's, well, kind of fun to watch. Not that fun. It's not The Hunger, but sorry, I'm talking about Tony Scott a little later on. But no, it is a period piece. It is a costume drama, but it's not stuffy old masterpiece theater. So it's here. It's in Indianapolis. It's in August. Go check it out.
Now that was a good movie.
Indeed. Okay, so we also have a few other notes coming up around town. Today is the 24th.
Yes.
Correct. So tonight at the IMA. At 9:30. I love this at 9:30.
Outside, you gotta wait till it gets dark.
Yeah, they did. You know, for a while they were doing the outdoor stuff at 7, even though they were waiting for the sun. Really, you were just really outside to have your wine and cheese and your Gruyere. That's right, twice in one show. But the IMA is showing Pulp Fiction.
Oh,
yeah. You should just skip the draft and go watch that. and no, I've not shown Emma Pulp Fiction. Yeah. I know. Well, there was
in time.
Yes, in time. Not next month, not in a couple months, but eventually. Well, and I bring this up because, well, one, it's the kids' film correspondent, and she loves the show. But earlier this week, Bill Hader was on Fresh Air, which you can also check out his interview on NPR.org, freshair.npr.org. But he tells a story about growing up, and when he was 11, because the kids' film correspondent turns 11 in November, his parents let him watch The Wild Bunch, Straw Dogs, and A Clockwork Orange.
That's wonderful.
Yes, and Bill Hader turned out fine. You know, he's the first performer since Eddie Murphy to get an Emmy nomination for SNL, so bully for him on that. But then I, of course, looked at my child and went, no, not yet. Wild Bunch maybe, but no, not quite, so... Now, that being said, I think Pulp Fiction's already on that list. No, next year. If she asks, then I'll have to address it. But it was that fun thing on Facebook of I had a nice mixed reaction of, what do you mean you haven't shown that to her yet? Or, no, you're not actually going to do that, are you? So, anyway, Pulp Fiction tonight at the IMA.
Cool.
Tomorrow evening at the Garfield Park Arts Center. Gosh, I remember this movie when it came out in 1977. Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger. No, it's not the African-American comic and Survivor, but it is Harryhausen's, Ray Harryhausen's last Sinbad film. So that is going on as well. So there you go. All right, let's take a short break, and we'll talk about what is new and old on DVD and Blu-ray, and we'll talk a little bit about Heartland Film Festival and Dead People We Like and other movie titles. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Love that. Wesley Willis always puts a smile on her face.
Yep.
We can't always quote his lyrics.
It doesn't matter if how terrible of a mood you're in. If you find the right Wesley Willis song, that will set you on your way.
And he'll whoop somebody with a rubber hose. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. Tim Irwin from Truly Moving Pictures is hanging out with us. And there's Kobe over there.
I pulled up IMDb and I'm looking here on the main page. They got a block of three posters here.
Yes.
Dread, one called The Tall Man with Jessica Biel.
Okay.
And then in the middle, Nicolas Cage.
Was that the kidnapping one?
Yeah,
ones?
Is it 12 kind of... hours, $10 million, one kidnapped daughter. Stolen. Is that like a knockoff of Taken?
You think?
Yeah.
He's no Liam Neeson. He's got an Oscar, but no Liam Neeson nonetheless.
Nicolas Cage has an Oscar?
Leaving Las Vegas.
No.
That was when he was good. There was weird, eclectic, eccentric, oddball Nick Cage, and then he got an award and started doing Michael Bay action movies.
His hair just took over around the same time.
You think so? I think he had the accountant that ran away with his money, so he had to really bad choices. Yeah, you can be acerbic and weird and odd. And get no money. He's called Crispin Glover. But, Nicolas Cage has bills to pay. So, yeah. But, yeah, 1995. I might add it to your queue because I'm Matflix.
I'm thinking, what's the one? Is that Raising Arizona?
Yeah, that's
when
in his
he
early.
Has the,
the early weird days.
When he's got the kid.
Yeah, yeah. Raising Arizona. Coen Brothers.
Yeah.
Holly Hunter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's, okay. So, yeah. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that. Vampire's Kiss. Valley Girl.
Wild at Heart.
Moonstruck. Wild at Heart. All those.
Con Air.
No, Con Air's not a part of that, idiot. Look at everything before Leaving Las Vegas. And by the way, when The Rock is your best action film, I'm serious. You think about all the action movies Nicolas Cage has made, although I would say Drive Angry, but that's good for different reasons. Mm-hmm. But and it's probably one of Michael Bay's better films. That's not saying a whole heck of a lot.
No.
So you're looking up it's a sad state of affairs. But, however, he has done things like Kick-Ass, the Werner Herzog Bad Lieutenant film. I still defend Drive Angry because it's bat spit crazy.
It's worth defending in that regard.
It's just a lunatic show. So, You know, keep at it, Nick. But I know he also got the straight to DVD title a couple months ago, I believe.
What was that one?
I don't know. Are you on Mr. Cage's?
No, I'm looking up what this the tall man thing is.
Why are you doing that? We're talking about,
like,
Nick Cage.
The
you like
the
Jessica Biel?
No, the poster looks like the thing.
Which
remember
thing?
That? The movie The Thing. That
the Kurt Russell movie, or Michael Chiklis is a giant orange Cheeto.
The one that was out
Thank
a couple
you.
Months ago.
Thank you for getting that. Though that was the kind of prequel, the Prometheus of The Thing. Will you look on Nicolas Cage's page?
Hang on.
This is riveting.
There's only one tall man. It's Phantasm. It's from Phantasm. Come on.
You
can't have another tall man.
And then you can only have one thin man, and that was Dick Powell. Dick Powell, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. And Myrna Loy.
Yep.
So, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sociology. Now, as you know, we love searching for stuff
Holy
during the show.
Cow. He's got a ton of stuff in the
Yes, because he's got bills to pay. What did he do before Stolen?
Oh, my goodness.
What did he do before Stolen? Yes.
Ghost Rider 2.
Oh, God. No, what else?
Trespass.
No, that was
bad. Seeking Justice.
That's it. Seeking Justice. That's the one. That's the one. That's also okay. We're done with him. Let's move on, if we will. New on DVD and Blu-ray this week, and I was surprised that this took as long as it did to come out on Blu-ray. But the best foreign film winner at this year's Academy Awards, the Iranian drama *A Separation*,
one of last year's best films, in my opinion,
easily, and the fact that it also got a screenplay nomination, and well deserved. Mm-hmm. We talked earlier in the year about how a lot of films sometimes get stuck in their little category and they don't go anywhere. Animated films, foreign films, documentaries, what have you. And so the fact that A Separation not only won Best Foreign Film, but it got a nomination in the original screenplay category. And it's set in modern Iran. You have a couple that want to set, well, he wants to stick around. She wants to leave. He does not. She wants to go to the United States. He wants to stay in Iran and take care of his ailing father. And well, let's just say the marriage system in Iran is kind of right up there with the
little bit different,
and kind of up there with the Iranian judicial system. And things start to come into play involving a housekeeper that's supposed to take care of the old father, the mother and her child, the headstrong who kind of looks like Iranian Vincent D'Onofrio a little bit. Just even a riveting. Their opening scene is two people, the couple sitting next to each other arguing, and it's just extremely
fantastic
tense.
Fantastic opening scene.
Yeah, and for me, the scariest part of the film is the gentleman in the short sleeve shirt at the desk, who with the stroke of a pen, and doesn't even have the time to even look up at you, could change your life and your future and your family's future forever. Truly, truly terrifying.
It is. Just such a different system and the power one person has. And I think that's what makes it so great, though. You get a peek into the system that you'd never see otherwise without the film.
Yeah, and it's also, we often say, you know, foreign film, whatever that means, it's kind of like world music. You know, if it's a universal story, it's not a foreign film. And you get both of those. You get the trials and tribulations of a couple going through, you know, the title of the film. This one just so happens to be set in Iran. So, the laws and society and culture also play a major part in this. So that is finally out. And if you've not seen it, go rent it or go buy it. Definitely.
Yes.
Now, we haven't done this segment in a while. And, Kobe, I pulled the cue aside. But it's I play this. It's a segment where I ask you a question about why didn't you see this film when it first came out originally? Now, however, I am doing this for myself. So this is a segment. It's the Where were you?
Where the fuck are you? Where were you? Where the hell are you?
And I usually do that to, you know, the rest of you folks, but I'm doing that for myself because I finally watched, and I don't know why I didn't see it. I know it played in town for a couple weeks, and for one reason or another, I missed it. And I'm kind of kicking myself that I didn't get a chance to see this in theaters. But it's the new film from Richard Linklater called Bernie with Jack Black, Shirley MacLaine, and Matthew McConaughey. It is actually based on a true story. Here's the trailer.
Can I tell you, I am not fond of cremations. I just don't like the idea of someone spending eternity in something the size of a motel ice bucket.
He was the nicest guy in town.
He was about the most popular man in Carthage.
Real people, person. Just made you feel real good about yourself.
It's like he'd cast a spell over the entire area.
Room service.
And she was just a mean old widow.
She used to tear up my toys. She pulled the heads off my dolls.
Well, there's some goodness in there, too.
Who says opposites don't attract?
She doesn't have anyone. She's a very lonely person. She needs someone.
You sure about that?
From the director of School of Rock and Dazed and Confused.
It was widely assumed that Bernie was accompanying her places.
Oh, yeah. Bernie took her everywhere.
They went to Russia, Acapulco, New York City. They went to Europe. Always first class.
He bought jet skis, 9 cars.
This spring,
somewhere along the way, it was just Bernie. He was her servant.
She was demanding.
You should have been here hours ago.
Condescending.
All I want is for you to be a man for once in your life.
Even conniving.
I know you hate me!
No!
Everybody else!
I don't know how the guy stood it.
A woman like that with a bad heart? He should have just shoved the pillow right over her face.
There are people in town, honey, that would have shot her for $5.
Everybody's describing Bernie to you as an angel.
The nicest fella I've ever met.
He didn't do it.
He's an angel, all right. An angel of death.
That dog don't hunt.
Jack Black, Shirley MacLaine, Matthew McConaughey.
Wheel of misfortune. Your number comes up. Danny Buck's coming to get you first.
Bernie.
In the freezer?
Yeah.
All in one piece or chopped up?
One piece.
Frozen like a popsicle.
Well, Richard Linklater captures small town Texas in this one quite well. And besides the three leads, and there are some other secondary characters that I should say there are other actors as secondary characters, but this is based on a true story, and Linklater actually interviewed people from the small Texas town that this actually happened in. And what's really cool is, except for the three, you can't really tell who is an actor and who isn't. I don't know if that's credit to the actors who, for instance, the gardener and I believe a couple of the sisters of Shirley MacLaine. But then you have the townspeople who just talk about Bernie and the old lady and the prosecuting attorney. And it really captures the different mentalities of small town Texas life. And there's a great sequence that breaks down the state of Texas as a whole, because it's, you know, even in Texas, there's fighting amongst each other. Now I know, Kobe, Mr. Black is on your list.
Yes, he is.
But he's really good in this. And part of it is, you know, he is, like I said, he's the assistant funeral director. He gets to do a little bit of his song and dance that, of course, got him on the map with School of Rock. Only there is a sequence where he performs 76 trombones from The Music Man, always involved in the local community. And as he becomes more of a companion for Rich, bitter widow Shirley MacLaine, she starts to transfer funds to him, and he starts to revitalize the town. So the whole thing is, yes, he murdered her, but didn't she have it coming? And two, doesn't he really help out the town? So there's that dark comedic aspect of that. And this was part of the, I guess, phase one of Matthew McConaughey's career revival, because he stopped doing movies with Kate Hudson. Because he's funny in this. Sorry, ladies. Shirt is kept on. Glasses are worn. Hair's different. It's not Magic Mike.
It's not him. It's not the same.
He's acting. But but he plays a camera-hungry prosecuting attorney, very showman-like. And actually doing his job. And as you're watching this, you are kind of torn on, well, he's helping out the town, and he got rid of a really bitter old person, but it is still murder. And so that's what made it. And there's also a lot of really, really funny sight gags, almost of a Wes Anderson nature. the thing that I laughed out loud the most was probably, and we've all seen this, the high school program where you have the actors reenacting the aftermath of a drunk driving accident because he is the assistant funeral director in town. And so they, of course, you know, you come out and you see, you know, three of your classmates, you know, acting dead. And here comes Jack Black with the wheels to bring out the dead bodies. And so, out of the background is somebody in the bright of day dressed as the Grim Reaper with a sigh. Just odd. Just small town funny. A combination of laughing with and laughing at, I think, depending on if your cup of Haterade is half full or half empty.
Ah.
You probably see, because that's what I drink from. But yeah, it's the funniest film I've seen all year, and so far it's in my top 10. And granted, it's August, that doesn't mean much, but I really feel bad that I didn't see this in theaters. I would have loved to have seen this with an audience to see what they thought.
Yeah, we had Richard Robichaux out here last year for a seminar, and
right.
has been one of his projects that he one of his more recent projects. Not necessarily a Heartland film, I don't think, but
oh, this I'm one, really probably not.
Okay,
probably not, but still definitely worth watching. And
yeah.
And you know, I guess we're still waiting for another collaboration between Julie Delpy and Ethan Hawke, but I like Linklater's work for the most part. I still think Dazed and Confused is overrated because I don't want to see a movie about people I hung out with in high school.
Right.
So, dude.
Dude. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Also in theaters, or on DVD and Blu-ray this week, is the underappreciated Sacha Baron Cohen film, The Dictator, because it's not Bruno and it's not Borat.
That's out already?
Yes, it's out already. Ooh. It did okay. But he plays a dictator of a fictitious country running around New York. And I know he did, for publicity purposes, especially during the Academy Awards, it did have because he was out in character doing all these publicity stunts and throwing ashes on Ryan Seacrest.
Did they ever figure out if it was supposed to be Ryan Seacrest that got the ashes? There were all these different stories swirling around.
You have to ask him. And if you ask him,
he would tell us.
Tell him Isla Fisher to call me. but... So there is a little bit of that, but it is actually scripted. And there's, again, freshair.npr.org. There's a really good interview with Sacha Baron Cohen about the making of this film and the fact that the police were on his side now protecting him because it was. But a lot of people compared it to something like Duck Soup or The Great Dictator, of the universal story of a small country dictator who's mad with power and just mad in general. And it's not nearly in the same level as the Marx Brothers or Charlie Chaplin, but it's kind of a Valentine to those types of film. And I still think Cohen is funny. Anna Faris gets to show up as she looks like a boy in his eyes, but is running a health food store. And anytime you see Ben Kingsley in a comedy, except for The Love Guru, it's always nice to see him doing that. So yeah, go rent that.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay. Also out is Disney's Chimpanzee. That's a movie with monkeys and chimpanzees.
And Tim Allen.
Good.
The voice of Tim Allen. Does he grunt in this one?
It's a little on the edge sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But we don't hear Patricia Richardson scalding him for...
No, none of that.
All right. Did that get the Truly
Moving? Yeah, we did give that one the Truly Moving Picture Award.
Oh, good. I'm glad I was just general about it, because I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great story that they captured in the middle of the jungle. They filmed all of these different chimpanzees, and in the middle of this an orphaned chimp gets taken in by the gruff alpha male of the group, and it's this,
and it grows up to be Christopher Lambert as Greystoke.
Exactly, but you ruined it for everyone, so they don't have to go see it.
And they replace Andy McDowell's voice with Glenn Close. That's from Greystoke, 1981. Don't worry about it. It's all right. That was the follow up to Hugh Hudson's follow up to Chariots of Fire. There you go. Okay, so that is also out. Also, I just saw these on the DVD and Blu-ray new releases. Going straight to DVD is the action film One in the Chamber, which stars the team of Cuba Gooding Jr. and Dolph Lundgren. I guess they were hoping the Expendables 2 would just carry this picture higher up. Also out And I guess this got like maybe six theaters, definitely New York, I know. But there is a movie called Freelancers, a corrupt cop film starring Academy Award winner Robert De Niro, Academy Award winner Forest Whitaker, and non-Academy Award winner 50 Cent. And believe it or not, this is the second film collaboration between Mr. De Niro and Mr. Cent. If you remember their riveting scenes in Righteous Kill.
Oh, I was thinking, okay, never mind.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking of Get Rich or Die Trying.
No, Robert De Niro is not in Get Rich or Die Trying.
I was about to say, it's like, oh my God.
That was Terrence Howard. Terrence Howard looks nothing like Robert De Niro.
Hang on. I got
it. You're thinking of another white actor?
No, I didn't. Terrence Howard's in Get Rich or Die Trying?
Yes. You know who else directed? Jim Sheridan.
I don't know why.
The man
I
who
care
gave us
so
My
much.
Left Foot and Dream House. In some ways, so it's kind of more on the Dream House side than. It's
disappointing.
You know, we were talking off air. I guess we need to start to compile the list of just one more home run. Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Jack Nicholson, Robert Redford.
You wanted Burt Reynolds in
there. I want Burt Reynolds on there, yeah.
Maybe Harvey Keitel as well.
You made a point. I mean, Keitel's not like De Niro where he's, you know, and there was that period where it felt like De Niro was doing stuff to, you know, get the Tribeca Film Festival off the ground, just like Olivier did with the National Theater in the 70s. I totally understand that. What's his excuse now? I don't know. It's so sad. And if you tell children today, those darn kids, that the dad from Meet the Fockers and Analyze This was once the future of acting as we know it, was the alpha acting male from the 70s and 80s, they look at you like you're crazy. Get off my lawn. Go watch The Deer Hunter, damn it. Jeez, are you on Get Rich or Die Trying?
Yeah,
on IMDb?
It was Terrence Howard. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, looks nothing like De Niro.
No,
you're welcome.
Yep.
Who are you thinking of?
I don't know.
This is the most Get Rich or Die Trying has had talked about since that movie came out in theaters.
Yep.
Who else was in Get Rich or Die Trying?
Let's see. One Mr. Cent, of course.
Mr. Cent, yeah.
Joy Bryant, Omar Benson Miller, Tori Kittles, Terrence Howard, Ashley Walters, Mark John Jeffries, Viola Davis.
Viola Davis was in that?
Yep.
That requires watching it again, and I don't want to.
No.
Okay,
not
so seen. If I ever get to talk to Viola Davis, I will bring up Get Rich or Die Trying, because she wanted to work with Jim Sheridan, I bet, more than Mr. Cent. I'm guessing.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so, too. Wow. So those are your new titles on DVD and Blu-ray. Have at those. Now we get to the old titles and it seems like every week every week a different studio just decides to unload from their old titles. One week it's Warner Brothers, another week it's Paramount, another week it's Universal. Well, apparently this week it's Disney. So old titles are so.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing this.
What?
The commercials for the Disney stuff.
Yeah, so here's what's out on Blu-ray. Would you buy these? And now you might need to have an asterisk whether you have a child or not. Someday when you have a child,
you'll understand.
Thank you, Coach Gundy. But yes, we have a two-disc set of The Rescuers and The Rescuers Down Under.
I have a coworker who showed me his new Blu-ray copy of that just today.
I'm surprised.
I don't know, maybe if Bianca doesn't know about it, but I'm surprised that she doesn't have this, that we don't have
this
already.
She missed Disney?
Yeah.
Miss everything Disney?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Song of the South Disney? No, I'm kidding.
She
never see the light of day. Well, that's out. So, when's her birthday?
January 10th.
Oh. Well, you know, you can start stocking up now. That's what I do with Emma. Not saying that Emma, you know, Fair Sweet Bianca is your daughter, but I bet they would have similar gifts at times. Also out, Pocahontas and Pocahontas 2.
Still Pocahontas.
Yeah, they were able to slip some of those straight to DVD titles in back into the frame. The Aristocats from the early 70s, that weird period
of funky songs in it.
I think one of them got a best song nomination, but it was up against theme from Shaft. It had no chance.
No hope.
Not a chance whatsoever. The Tigger movie, which Emma has already brought up.
The one from like 10 years ago?
Yeah. The Tigger movie. I enjoyed it.
Now, this title, I believe, has that the Tigger movie has a special Disney intermission. So we were talking to the guys at Disney about different things. And if you when you pause the movie, it plays a different game. There's a different screen. So that when one kid goes to the bathroom, the other kids aren't bored by watching the same frame of the movie the whole time.
I just, ladies and gentlemen, I just dropped my piece of paper. I was stunned at that announcement.
I think they had one other title that it was having the same, I forget the exact name of it.
Yeah, you
it
got the
Disney intermission thing.
You got the finger on the pulse of some of the studios. Will you tell them about our show?
I need screeners.
I need screeners.
They're not a huge fan of sending out DVDs oftentimes, though.
I'm not going to sell them on East Washington Street. I'm the third
West
most.
Washington
I'm
Street.
The third. No, not there either. I'm the third most popular radio host according to Nuvo. I can't do that. Wouldn't want to do that, even if I weren't ranked. With my bronze medal in my black leather glove, with my fist balled up, 68 Mexico City. Sorry. sorry, where did that come from? No, not bitter. I'm not bitter. Also out. Okay, we're shifting gears. We're going away from Disney, but you know, call us. War Games, which I was 13 when that came out with a young Matthew Broderick and a young Ally Sheedy and an old Dabney Coleman and old Barry Corbin. Both of those dudes were born 40, at least. but yeah, that was. I'm sure computer nerds are gonna love that film just to look at the technology that could have caused World War III. So that's also out. Halloween 4 and Halloween 5.
Together in one
separate.
Pack? Separate.
No, they're separate.
Oh, man.
You know, Pocahontas 1 and 2 together? Yes. Rest Halloween 4 and 5? No. No, no, no. Also out, Good Will Hunting. 15th anniversary for that.
What did they package with that one?
The Oscars. Or a really nasty letter from William Goldman. Could be that. Or apples. And finally, those who know the movie know exactly what I'm saying. Finally, Stephen King's Thinner. Yes, here at Film Sociology, I bring up film titles that nobody has thought of since the film came out, like Thinner and Get Rich or Die Trying. Let's take a break. Let's talk about Heartland and Dead People We Like and old movies from the archives.
I love that you keep putting those two things together.
What?
Dead People We Like and Heartland. Same sentence every time.
But I put you guys first.
I appreciate
you're listening,
that.
You're welcome. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the point and WFYI.org.
Padma Lakshmi, and you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI FM radio.
Thanks, Padma.
I want it noted I did not ask Kobe to play that one. He played it out at his own will, and I'm really happy about that. I'm sorry, what were we talking about? Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the point.
It's easy to get distracted WFYI when Padma Lakshmi's talking to you.
Hell yeah. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. Also on Facebook, also on the Twitter.
The Twitter.
And you can also go to our Tumblr, Film Sociology blog.
Filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Where apparently Kobe is now collecting famous quotes and we're putting up weird trailers and other things. Mm-hmm. So, Tim Irwin, the artistic director of Truly Moving Pictures, is hanging out with me. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. This has been a lot of fun so far.
Well, that's what we tried to deliver here.
So far.
Yeah, show's not over yet, kid. We give you film reviews and film titles you haven't thought of in a long time, and oh yeah, that guy, girl. So, just another fun day at the office here at HD2. But you guys had your sneak peek event last night?
Last night.
Yeah, so how'd it go?
Well, you guys were talking – this was our second annual, but you don't have to say second annual after the first one. So this was our annual sneak peek fundraiser event. And we got to – we announced about 8 or 10 of the films that are going to be showcased at Heartland this year. There's some really exciting announcements. I'll mention maybe just a couple of them.
Please do.
For the first time in Heartland's 21-year history, we're going to be opening the festival with a documentary film called High Ground. You might remember Don Hahn from Academy Award-nominated producer of Beauty and the Beast. I believe he was the first person nominated for Best Picture Oscar for an animated feature.
Correct.
He was heavily involved with the resurgence of Disney with Lion King after Beauty and the Beast.
For some reason, Fritz the Cat didn't have a chance.
But yeah, I don't know why.
Well, you know what? It was 1972, so it was the year of The Godfather and Deliverance.
Yeah, poor Ralph.
Ralph's not getting it. No. So
Don Hahn's back at Heartland again. He was here 2 years ago with Waking Sleeping Beauty, the documentary he did about Disney.
The resurgence of Disney.
Yes, very, very
As we talked about Disney in the 70s and 80s already.
And then Don was here last year with Handheld, the documentary he did about a photographer in, I believe it was Romania. So this film, he's producing it again. It's called High Ground. It's about a group of Armed Forces veterans who return with various levels of physical injuries, maybe limbs amputated, traumatic brain injury, PTSD, various things, and they climb a mountain in the Himalayas, and it's the story of them. The film, the director is actually Michael Brown's actually he is a mountaineer and a filmmaker, so he takes his camera with him as he climbs these mountains. He's scaled Everest, I think, 5 times it is. So we're really excited about this. Last year we had The Way and Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez were here. You know, there was a lot of star power around that. This year we're shifting the focus away from the star power and honoring our heroes who are returning.
Cool.
So we'll be working with various veterans groups. We'll have hopefully Don will be here himself along with several of the veterans in the film. We're hoping to bring out a lot of people to honor our vets. So that was one of our big announcements of last
Excellent.
Night. We also our closing night's going to be just a party. There's a film that
he wants to party, Covey.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Another documentary, though. Again, for the first time in Heartland's history.
Well, you're bookending there.
We are. It's insane. It's called this film called Under African Skies. So Paul Simon's Graceland album came out 25 years ago. We saw the film at Sundance, and it was just incredible. It's one of those rare documentaries that gives you a lot to think about, but leaves you feeling awesome afterwards.
Yeah, because there is a lot of pro and con about the making of that album. And I'm going to be, because I'm old, haggard, cynical journalist. You know, this was at the height of Sun City, the anti-South Africa campaign.
Cultural boycott was going on.
Exactly.
Paul was not supposed to be there.
Little Steven's bandana got into a twist, I know, with bands like Queen and Paul Simon going down and making these recordings.
Yeah.
But it did open for a lot of people. This was kind of, I made fun of the term world music, but it did open up a big bridge.
Very much so.
You know, you open a door, you build a bridge of African music and mainstream music.
And what I love about the film is that it doesn't gloss over any of the difficult things. It just lays it all out there, working through issues. Still, there's, you know, the animosity that Paul received a little bit of when he got there. Is played out in the film 25 years later as they sort of work through that redemption.
As well as his work in One Trick Pony. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. They don't bring it up.
So that'll be October 27th. We'll be at the IMA, the Indianapolis Museum of Art, for our closing night film, Under African Skies. And then we'll have a party afterward, another party at the Jazz Kitchen in Broad Ripple. It'll be a great time. So we'll open the festival with a documentary, High Ground, wonderful film, on October 18th at the Indianapolis Museum of Art. We'll shut it down with a wonderful party on the 27th. And then there's going to be – we have, I think, 118 films this year.
That's – wow.
It's – we're actually – down a little bit from last year because we wanted to show the films more times. So last year we went crazy on the numbers and didn't get to show them quite as often. So this year, slightly fewer films, higher quality. We had so many submissions this year, 1,240 total submissions. So we were up 45% on last year's record, which has been insane for us, but it's been wonderful. We have a really great lineup as a result. And speaking of world music, there's another film we announced last night called Mariachi Gringo, and it is exactly what you think the title is. It's about this 30-year-old Kansan guy who his life is kind of adrift, and he's living at home, doesn't know what to do, wanders into the local Mexican restaurant.
And wants to become a mariachi
player.
So it's the U.S.'s version of Schutzy Gets the Blues.
I guess so.
Which was, no, I'll tell you, because it's same storyline. Is this documentary or feature?
This is a narrative feature.
Okay, German accordion player discovers Zydeco over Armed Forces radio and travels to Louisiana.
Wow.
So, no, this is cool. Yes, want to see this.
It's really fun, and he ends up getting on a bus with his guitar, going to Guadalajara, and he's there. And it doesn't gloss over the realities of it at all.
Dude, road trip to Mexico.
Dude, awesome. Sweet. Weird. We're going to call JoJo an essay, and we're going to, like, we're going to put it together.
Yeah. It's our imaginary college friends. Cool. What else is coming out that you guys announced?
One of the films, too, we're going to host the North American premiere of a film called The Citizen by a returning producer to Heartland, Chris Wyatt. He was a producer on Napoleon Dynamite, one of the original producers on that, and then was here a couple years ago with Cafe, which was a Festival Award winner. He'll be back with a film called The Citizen, directed by Sam Caddy. Stars, more familiar names probably, Cary Elwes and Bill Atherton are in it. And on October, I think, 22nd, the Monday of the festival, in the evening, we're going to have the North American premiere of that film at the Castleton Theater. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have some of the cast and crew on hand for a wonderful Q&A afterwards.
Wait, what else? What did this guy produce?
Napoleon Dynamite.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
It's all the timing, folks. Sorry. So, okay, that's cool. That's October 22nd. That's also my anniversary.
Oh, lovely.
I always remember because the day we got married on a Friday, and then Saturday night.
Rush concert.
We did not go for a Rush concert on my wedding weekend. Oh, wait a minute, I can hear Mrs. Sosie not laughing. No, but we had so many friends in town, we wound up going to see, it was Walking Through Egypt? The Ellen Burstyn, Jonathan Taylor Thomas film.
Yeah.
From the first, was it the first?
99. That was early.
It was early. So, no, it was like...
It was 99. It wasn't the first. We already had...
Okay, so you had a few.
First was in 91, I believe.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was not 90. Not the first, but... But yeah, got to. So I always know when Heartland's coming up. So that's
wonderful.
Cool. So if people go to trulymoviepictures.org,
go to trulymoviepictures.org or heartlandfilmfestival.org, you can find out a little bit more information. This was just a sneak peek, so we just announced a few of the titles. On September 18th, Tuesday, September 18th, at the Arts Garden downtown, we're going to have our announcement celebration open to members of our brand new film society. You can find out more information about being a member of Film Society on our website as well. But we'll announce the full lineup September 18th. We'll announce all of our award winners for the year, and it'll be another wonderful party.
And you will be hearing more about Heartland and future Film Sociologies and elsewhere here at WFYI. So be in tune for that.
We're very excited.
Thank you. All right. We move on to it's time to raise our glasses. So
yes.
do we have this? Because we didn't do it last week, and we got to really catch up.
Here we go.
We don't want the bodies to pile up.
Yes, we need to. I was going to set this up nicely, but I instead
shot it
let's
down.
Just, here we go.
Doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
There's a pretty big one this
week. We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
Because that seems better than Hollywood obits. But there you go. Thanks, guys. Carlo Rambaldi, at the age of 86, one of the special effects masters in movies, won an Academy Award for E.T. and for Alien. And a special achievement award for his work in the 1976 remake of King Kong. Yes, he got Rick Baker into an ape outfit. I don't know. But he was 86, worked on a number of films, including before the big stuff, Andy Warhol's Frankenstein, Andy Warhol's Dracula, the Dario Argento thriller, Deep Red, who worked on that. Did work on King Kong, later worked in Dune, Conan the Destroyer. But Silver Bullet, he created the werewolf suit from Silver Bullet.
Okay.
And The Hand, the Michael Caine film directed by Oliver Stone. And this was a film I brought up to the child yesterday as an example of Michael Caine just will take movies and not see them. I think it was the Hand where he said, I've never seen the film, but I've seen the view from the house that film bought. So thank you, Carlo. But yeah, he created E.T. and Alien, so that was pretty cool. Al Freeman Jr., character actor, best known for playing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Spike Lee's Malcolm X back in 1992. Also appeared in Once Upon a Time When We Were Colored, Down in the Delta, did a lot of TV like Homicide, Law and Order, the oh my gosh, I forgot about that. One Life to Live for a while. But one of the earliest things I remember seeing in him, besides the Frank Sinatra thriller The Detective from 1968 and Ensign Pulver in 1964, but he was in the film version, the musical Finian's Rainbow, directed by a young Francis Coppola back in 1968. Yes, the last musical starring Fred Astaire. And at that time, pop starlet, but not really becoming a movie star, Petula Clark, Keenan Wynn. It was and Tommy Steele. That film was a trip. So, and of course, earlier this week we heard about the passing of director Tony Scott, who, wasn't going to be Richard Farnsworth or Brian Keith. He just jumped off a bridge. So, of course, his brother is Ridley. I've been looking back at some of his films, and has looked out. There's a handful of his films that I really like. The others, I think I need to revisit. Some I'm not so crazy about, but you know these titles: The Hunger, Top Gun, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Revenge, the one with Kevin Costner, Days of Thunder, The Last Boy Scout, True Romance, Crimson Tide, The Fan, that's the one with De Niro and Wesley Snipes, where Wesley Snipes is not Barry Bonds. Enemy of the State, Spy Game, which, you know, brings up Robert Redford and his son Brad Pitt, Man on Fire, Domino, Deja Vu, the remake of The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, and his last film from 2010, Unstoppable, with Chris Pine and Denzel Washington. Worked with Denzel 1-2-3-4 times, so that was pretty good. So you think of those films, high octane, very glossy, a lot of heavy lights and shadows, and I watched The Hunger, and no, I actually watched the entire film, not just the great scene with Susan Sarandon and Catherine Deneuve, and people laughing know what I'm talking about. But that was 1983, and that thing screamed MTV video, and that was, you know, pretty new for its look and its time then.
Very new.
Top Gun, well, it's hard to have a manly film when you have a soundtrack featuring Kenny Loggins in Berlin.
I had never seen Top Gun until I think last year. I had a group of people together.
I was in high school when Top Gun came out, and everybody was gaga over it.
Yeah. I've ridden the ride at Kings Island.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a shirtless Val Kilmer sitting next to you?
I don't think the ride is called Top Gun anymore, though. Cedar Fair took over. Paramount had to take the naming rights away.
Yeah, that'll show you.
I like the Top Gun ride.
Okay, but not the movie.
Not seen it.
Never seen it. Of course you were. It was made in 1986.
B.C.
Shut up. Beverly Hills Cop 2. Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, you got to love the Beverly Hills Cop movies.
Not Beverly Hills Cop 3.
You don't have to love Beverly Hills Cop 3.
No, you should actually despise Beverly Hills Cop 3. 2's not really necessary either. What's that one fast-talking Eddie Murphy movie from the late 80s? All right. All right, so some people...
Look, man. Some people... an open animal tail, bite.
That's from the first one, and that's good. That's Martin Brest as well. Another lines we can't quote.
Has he done anything after he destroyed his career with Geely?
Who?
Martin Brest.
Martin Brest? Oh, after Geely? No, he hasn't done a thing. We have 5 minutes, really? Okay, no, 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
All right. True Romance. So some of my favorites: True Romance, Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette are pretty good. A great supporting cast: Gary Oldman, Val Kilmer,
yes!
Dennis Hopper, Christopher Walken, Saul Rubinek. It's just Ed Lauder and Kachana. I mean, it's a great supporting cast. So go check that out. Crimson Tide, the submarine version of Run Silent, Run Deep with Denzel Washington and Gene Hackman. Unstoppable. Believe it or not, I actually liked that more than I thought because it was short. It was 90 minutes, and, you know, Denzel and Chris Pine trying to stop a train. That's, you know, that's all you need to know. Deja Vu is all over the place. So is Domino. Domino's just weird, as much as I like at times looking at Keira Knightley. Spy Game I need to revisit. But everybody keeps telling me I need to revisit The Last Boy Scout because, you know, it's a Shane Black screenplay, and people say it's a parody of the grizzled cop action movies with Bruce Willis with hair and Damon Wayans, everyone's favorite movie football player. So I don't know. Maybe I will try to give that another viewing. I know Jarrett Moore wants to come on next week and talk a little bit more about the films of Tony Scott. So
JM's going
to
be here.
Yeah. He also wants to talk about, speaking of Ralph Bashke, I just gave him a copy of Heavy Traffic. So, yeah, we like R-rated animated movies. So, all right. And Kobe, you need to, young man, you need to get caught up on your.
I know. I've got so much to watch.
The battle for your cinematic soul continues.
Well, Bianca's back in school now at Tuesdays and Wednesday nights. So
you can watch whatever the hell you want?
Yes.
All right. All right. Next week, I swear, we'll go into the archives. We've got to talk about Ken Russell's musical, The Boyfriend. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people.
Zardoz has spoken.
Tim Irwin, thank you for hanging out.
Yeah, thanks. It's been so much fun.
We'll be seeing you soon.
Appreciate it.
Yes, of course. Until next time, go see a good movie. You deserve it. Go Tommy Wiseau All-Stars. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
We gone! Good night, Fort Myers.